Blog Talk Radio.
Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah. Good morning, Blog Talk listeners. God bless you one and all. What a glorious opportunity it is to come to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the precious Holy Spirit and just share with you what God has placed on my heart. I am his messenger who has been called by him, set forth in work and power by his anointing to spread the good news to you. I know you look around and you see all kind of devastation going past on the news and the airways, on the webs, wherever you look, but look no further because God has the good news, and he has chosen me to bring the good news to you. Hallelujah. So wherever you're at today, go ahead and relax. Go ahead and just start by saying, thank you, Jesus. We want to thank God for his presence. Just thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the opportunity to just breathe. Let's have breath in our bodies one more day. Because we look around us and we do not want to take it for granted. But God is a good God. God is a good God. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, for who you are and what you are and what you're doing in our lives. We thank you, dear Father. And we ask that you just be with us and around us like the walls around Jerusalem, dear Father. And may I decrease and your ever-loving spirit increase and pour out onto us your spirit of majesty, your spirit of love and your joy. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's go right into our scripture. Hallelujah. Our scripture today is coming from the book of Isaiah 61. It says, the spirit of the servant's Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the people, good news to the poor. And he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captive. Hallelujah. He sent me to release from darkness for the prisoners and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God and to comfort all those who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd their flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards, and you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion. And instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance. And so they will inherit a double portion in their land. And everlasting joy will be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and iniquities. In my faithfulness, I will reward them and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the people. And who see them will acknowledge that they are people of the Lord, that the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in robes of righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seed to grow, so the sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations, before all nations. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. That is Isaiah 61. So we now have established the good news. Hallelujah. I know that you're looking. Your spirit needs to hear some good news. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the good news. You know, God responds to our words of faith. And we want to talk about tonight, as our topic, just speaking words of faith. All around us, all kind of different things is going on in our lives. And we typically are very busy people. In 2011, even as the month has just started, this year is just beginning. I've spoke to many people so far already who just have their plates full. We're just busy. You can ask them, you know, so what's going on? How is things going with you? I'm busy. I've taken on another job. You know, my kids is doing other challenging things this year. I'm more responsible for other things in my life than I was last year. I'm just busy. We get busy. We want to make sure that you are not so busy that you forget about the Lord. Hallelujah. That you are so busy that you forget to take out time to say thank you, Jesus. That you get so busy in your life that you don't just give him praise and honor and thanksgiving for breathing breath into your body. That we take it for granted that we're going to be here another day because we get so busy that we don't remember that it is because of he, not us, that has allowed us to still be here another day. That we get so busy that we get caught up in all the devastation that's going on around the world. And our words start to become negative words because the things that we see around us become negative words. All the areas that we seem to see, even on the web, is negativity. And if we get so busy that if that's the only thing during the day that we have actually caught, that's caught our attention, and then we'll find ourselves believing that that is the only thing that's going on, we will find ourselves neglecting to see that there are still people out here feeding the hungry. That someone out here, preachers and teachers and leaders, are out here trying to give the good news. That God is still the king of all kings. He's still the ruler of all the rulers. There's only one God, and he is our God. He's our Savior. And that he responds to our words of faith. You see, Daniel was a man of faith. Daniel knew the importance of prayer. He knew the importance of fasting. Did you know, as with Daniel, God responds to your words of faith? He responded to Daniel's words of faith. And God will respond to your words of faith. Hallelujah. Daniel was a faithful man to God. In Daniel 10, 1 through 12, it says you can read about the time when Daniel had a vision about his king. And the vision disturbed him so much that Daniel fasted from everything pleasant to eat. And he prayed for 3 weeks. And then one day during the fast, he was hanging around by a river with some people and sent an angel to talk to Daniel. In verse 7, 1 through 7, it tells us about that when the messenger that God sent, it wasn't seen by everyone. Daniel was the only one who could see the messenger. But the Bible records that everyone else felt the presence of the angel. You should read that. And it scared them so much that they all got up to hide in the bushes. The messenger Daniel saw that day amazed them. They could just feel the presence of the messenger. Why was the messenger there? Responding to the words of Daniel. Because God showed up for his word. Hallelujah. The angel was glowing, it says, and he was dressed in fine linen in verse 5. Hallelujah. See, that angelic being's face was flashing like lightning, and his eyes was blazing like fire. This is what the Bible records tells us. It tells us that his body was like a sparkling gem. His arms and legs, it gives the whole description of the polished brass and how his voice was like that of a multitude of people talking all at once in verse 6, it tells us. Daniel lost all of his physical strength when that angel arrived. And when the angel spoke, Daniel's face hit the dirt Hallelujah. God sent an angel to come and respond to the faith words of Daniel. Hallelujah. Now, his physical body, of course, when you're in the presence of the Lord, your physical body cannot take on the power. So in the same spirit, because his physical body couldn't take the power, his physical body just gave out, verse 8 and 9 said. He was out of it. But the angel touched Daniel. The force of that one touch pulled Daniel right out of his sleep and set him on his hands and knees, verse 10 tells us. And what did the angel say? In verse 11, he says, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. How would you like for that kind of thing to happen to you? How would you like to know that your words of faith, that God will send a messenger to receive your words? What if God sent an angel to you, calling out your name? Hallelujah. See, the Lord loves you just that much. It's so important that we watch over the words that we say, because we want a response from the Lord. If we want a response from the word, from the Lord, we have to make sure that our words are a positive words. Our words are words of action, of Christ's words. We want to hear him say, oh, greatly beloved sister or brother, you are my greatly beloved by God. That's what the messenger told Daniel. He said, you're greatly beloved by God. See, I don't have to stop or try to imagine that happened to me, because I don't just believe that God loves me. I know that God loves me, because I am a child of God. Read Daniel 10, 11, and 12. Just real quickly, let's just go through it real quickly. He says, oh, Daniel, man, greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand up straight. For unto thee I am now sent. Remember, the angels are messengers of God. And he said, I am now sent. And when he had spoken these words unto Daniel, Daniel said, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, fear not. For from the first day that thou hast did set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. So he's telling them, your words are heard from the beginning. Now, I just want to deal with the last part of the scripture. Words are powerful tools. Words are powerful tools that can bring about a change in the life here on earth. But if you're not saying anything that's worth listening to, if you've got negative words, then you're asking the Lord to make a trip for nothing. See, God comes to our aid when we use words, and not just any words. It's our words must be words of faith. Our words must be words of faith. So we're speaking tonight on speaking words of faith. This is your friend, your sister, a child of God, Evangelist Von Dumas. The call-in number is 646-652-4916. I see you there in Atlanta. God bless you. Again, 646-652-4916. Or you can join in on the chat room. God bless you as we speak tonight. I'm speaking words of faith. So now, you got to believe. Only thing that we need to realize is that God isn't moved by our needs. He's moved by our faith. See, there's a lot of needs in the world, all caused by sin in this earth. And it's caused by man's inhumanity to man. But God started this thing out right. It was man who messed it up, and now we, as his descendants, were born into that sin. But God made a plan through Jesus Christ to raise us up and take us out of the filth of sin. The filth of sin. When you say the word filth, it doesn't ring hard very easily to your ears, I'm sure. But that's exactly where we're at. We are born into the filth of sin. But God had a plan through his Son, Jesus Christ, to wash us in the purity of his blood and give us the ability to use his name, to use his word, and to obtain what we need for a good life. So remember, it's not just about the need, but it's about our faith. He's moved by our faith. He's moved by us using his word to obtain what we need in order to have a good life. Hallelujah. Nothing will get done unless we take the initiative first. Nothing will get done in your life unless we take the initiative first. See, God did his part. He sent his Son and he sent his word. And now it's up to you and it's up to me and it's up to the world to speak that word out in faith. Regardless of what's going on, it's up to us to keep our eyes focused on God's word, that we may speak that his word and speak it in faith. Why? Why is it important, evangelist, that we speak that word? Because we don't want to get caught up in self-pity. We don't want to get caught up in our problems or whatever it is that's going on in our life. Because as we speak the words in faith, God will come for our words. He will bring our words to pass. You say, I am a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. He will keep those words. He will bring them to pass. You said, this too will pass. You said, I am healed by his stripes. He will come for our words. He will bring our words to pass. Now, I'm not just talking about confession. But some people confess and they never believe. So nothing ever happens. And then they end up confessing for 30 years, 40 years, and nothing ever happens. I'm not just talking about confession, but I'm talking about possession. It's time to believe this thing, and it's time to start possessing this thing. See, when you believe and say words of faith, it affects your life for the better. Choosing to have faith shakes off depression. Choosing to have faith can bring back that wayward child. Choosing to have faith can restore that marriage. Choosing to have faith can build up that church when everyone was walking out of. Choosing to have faith can heal your broken body. Choosing to have faith. It clears your mind of fear so you can think clearly. Choosing to have faith, it clears your mind from all the double standards and double-mindedness. You say you're going to do this, you end up doing that. You give your word that you're going to do this, and it's nothing for you to just change your mind and say, I don't feel like doing this. I don't feel like going there. I don't feel like saying that. Choosing to have faith. Choosing to speak faith. Words of faith will cause you to live a faithful life. Hallelujah. Choosing. You have to choose. You have to do something. Remember, nothing gets done unless you take the initiative first. Again, nothing gets done unless we take the initiative first. God has did his part. He sent his Son, and he sent his word. Now it's up to me, it's up to you to speak that word out in faith that we may start to possess these things. We confessing, now we have to possess. Hallelujah. Choosing to have faith. So your mind is clear. It's not cluttered with all the anxiety of the things that goes on that will put us in a state of anxiety.
Choosing faith allows your spirit to reign first place. See, faith puts you in an atmosphere where you can just hear the voice of God. You got to get in that atmosphere where you can hear the voice of God. So you can see the voice of God as he comes to reveal himself to you. Hallelujah. You got to put yourself in that atmosphere. I don't care what people say. They may call you anything. It doesn't matter. You got to break away from the world. You got to break away from the naysayers. You got to be able to speak those words in order for you to carry on. The song of the opening just said, breathe on me. This is God's breath. What are you doing with the breath that he have put inside of you? You're still here for some reason. I dare you to just sit around and do nothing with the time that he's gave you, the precious talents that he's given to you. Are you burying your talent? What are you doing with your talent? Are you speaking negative words over your time that he's given to you? He's allowed you to see another day. Who did you give your time to today? How did you edify the kingdom today? Was all of your time given watching somebody else live life? Did you take the day that he gave you today? And did you just sit back and just sleep throughout that whole day? Did you watch somebody else live life on TV all day? What was it that you did today to edify the kingdom? What was it you did today to say, thank you, Jesus, for allowing me to live one more day? Did you check yourself to see, how can I be a good servant today? How can I be a better father today? What steps can I do to make my child's life different today? Or did you just dictate today? Were you just a dictator? How can I be a better daughter today? How can I be a better servant today? Or did you just wait on someone to serve you today, to follow your orders today? Did you follow any orders that Christ was giving you today? What positive words did you send out into the atmosphere today? This is a day that he has seen fit to give to you. You've never seen before. You'll never see it again. I dare you take advantage of it without doing anything. Hallelujah. Do you really think it was he just left you here for nothing, just to take up space? Speak your words. Live a life. By speaking words of faith, you begin to live a life of faith. You get excited about a new day. You get excited about working hard through that day. Those hard words. See all the things, the benefits that it brings. And you get excited about it. And you don't want to just sit around. You want to be a part of the world and do things to make a difference. You don't want to hide yourself away. But you got to start with speaking the positive things in your life, over your children, over your students, teachers. Hallelujah. Choosing to have faith clears your mind. Choosing faith clears your spirit, allows your spirit to get into that atmosphere, to receive God's word, to hear God's voice, to be prepared. He sends that messenger. When that messenger comes for your words, to bring your words to pass, I believe God will come for your word just like he did for Daniel's. But if you're not saying anything of value, then the Lord won't waste a trip for nothing. See, it is faith-filled words that will bring him to you. It's not the fear. It's not doubt. But it's the faith filled words that will draw him to you. First, you must believe that he exists and that his power is enough to save you. So you say, well, I believe that he exists. I believe in God. Well, of course I believe in God. I've been in church all my life, Evangelist. I believe in God. I believe that he exists. But do you believe that his power is enough to save you? You say, but you don't understand where I'm at. You understand that, you know, I'm in this celebrity world, and everything around me, everywhere I go, you know, I'm tempted. Everything around me, if I want to be a part of that, I have to hang out with certain people. I'm expected to say certain things. I'm expected to do certain things. Hallelujah. You said, but so you don't understand. I heard one celebrity say recently, he said, when I try to go and someone pays me to come and make an appearance places, and I try to not drink, I try not to get wild and crazy, and I try to act with a certain level of standards and keep a standard. He said, but those are the same people that refuses to pay me. So who's that guy? That's not the guy I paid to show up. I paid for the guy who's going to come and get drunk. I paid for the guy who's just going to, you know, throw the party upside down. I paid for that guy. I paid for that guy. So you say, Evangelist, you don't understand the lifestyle that I'm living in. But I tell you that God responds to your words of faith. If you speak those words, I don't care what lifestyle you're currently in, but God will still respond to your words of faith. But remember, nothing gets done unless you take the initiative first. So you've got to choose to speak the words of faith over that situation. You've got to choose to say, I'm going to reach out to you, Evangelist, to intercede with me as I go through this. So we do it together. You've got to choose to have faith and then watch God answer and bring your words to pass. Hallelujah. So you've got to be saying, having faith-filled words to draw to you. Your fear of how the world is going to react to you is not what's going to draw him near. Your doubt of the Lord is not what's going to draw him near. So if you believe this, you got to believe that his power is enough to deliver you out of that situation. And still he's going to keep you in a place. You said, well, I'll go down and I won't be known and I won't have that. God's power is enough to save you, to deliver you, to heal you, to restore you. And God's power is enough to set you free. Oh, hallelujah. Wherever you're at, whatever you're going through, you may be in laying down in a crack house right now. God's power is enough to set you free. You may be in the White House right now. And there's things that are going on that you can't tell anybody because you're expected to do certain things, to say certain things. You may be the CEO of a company. You're expected to take different bribes, to push things under the boat, to see but not see certain things. But you know that's not the way of the world. The way of the world. You know that's just the way of the world. You got to believe that God's power is powerful enough to restore you and set you free from that situation. See, faith destroys all distance between God and man. When you have faith, the distance between God and man is destroyed. It brings you together. It draws on the power of his presence within you. Unlike Daniel, who lived in the Old Testament time, we who are saved today, We who are saved today, we have the very presence of God's Holy Spirit within us. He's close to us. When I say, Jesus, Jesus, oh, Jesus, hello, Jesus, good morning, Jesus, he responds. Why? Because he is close to me, and he responds to my faith. What do I have faith in? I have faith in his ability to hear my voice. I have faith that when I call him, he's going to hear my voice. Hallelujah. And if I don't, if I didn't believe that he has the power to hear me, then what I do is I stop my own heart from hearing his voice. So that means if I don't have the power to believe that he hears me when I speak, then I don't have the power to believe that he answers me. And so it just hardens your heart, and it takes you out of that place where you can hear from the Lord. But that's the way faith works. Faith works as you believe that he hears you. He hears your voice. And then you open up your heart, and you believe, and that's when you're able to hear his response. God will respond to you. He'll respond to you in your good times. God will respond to you. He will respond to you in your desperate times. God will respond to you. It doesn't matter if you're in a situation where nobody is nearby to help you. You say, I'm all here by myself. I've been taken away from my family, my friends. I don't feel like there's nobody here that can help me. It doesn't matter. God will send one of his servants to help you if you're speaking words of faith. God will send one of his servants to help you if you're speaking words of faith. If you're speaking words of faith. Angels are servants of God. See, but you're a child of God. Let's say it again. Angels are servants. They're messengers of God. But you and I, we are children of God. You are a child of God. You are an heir according to his promises. And that's better than a messenger. Angels work for God, but they respond to his word. So if you're speaking God's word, you see what I'm saying? If you're speaking God's word, and angels respond to God's word, then every word of God that you speak, angels get up and start to move. They will go to work to bring God's word to pass in your life. Now, if you read further in the book of Daniel, you'll find that the prince of Persia withstood the angels. But the angel made sure to tell Daniel that he heard his word the first time. It says, this tells me that we shouldn't give up. And as I repeatedly tell you all the time, a delay is not a denial. A delay is not a denial. The angel made sure to tell Daniel that he heard his words the first time. If we look back real quickly, again in Daniel 10, 11, and 12, at the end of the day, he tells him, he says, Daniel, fear not, for the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy word. So he said, your words was already heard the first day. So just because we have a delay does not mean denial. Don't ever let the devil tell you that God isn't listening to you. God hears you every time. Every time. God hears you. But your words must be words of faith. And remember, sometimes there are just things going on that you don't know anything about. There are spiritual battles going on. And sometimes the devil hinders an answer from coming. The devil or another person might be able to hinder you. Oh, but no one can stop your answers from coming. If you'll continue to speak words of faith, faith will bring your answers home to you. Faith will bring your answers home to you. Hallelujah. So sometimes we get delayed, and because we feel this delayed reaction, because the things that's going on in our life, we panic. We don't have our mind set free. So we're really not speaking words of faith. And we try to speak words and we get into this anxiety attack. And then at this time we're shaking, we're upset, and we're just like, where are you? Aren't you hearing me? I need to hear from you now. And we get so caught up in what we're saying and what's going on with us that we don't really understand that he's answering, that he's wrapping his arm. He's got his arms of comfort around you. He's hiding you from destruction. He's trying to give you, show you the right way to go. But we can't feel the comfort. We can't see the direction. We can't hear his voice. Because we allow the enemy to tell us that God is not listening to us. It's just you on your own right now. You're never going to make it through this thing. Did you hear what that doctor said to you? How dare you try to call on God? He's not listening to you. These are the things that the enemy will play over and over and over in your head. If you don't stand and do something, nothing gets done unless you take the initiative to do something. You have to choose to have faith. Remember, choosing to have faith can shake off that voice of the devil in your head. Choosing to have faith can shake off depression. Choosing to have faith can clear your mind of fear. It'll help you to think more clearly. Hallelujah. Choosing. It's a choice. Remember, a delay is not a denial. So don't ever let the devil tell you that God isn't listening to you. He heard you the first time you cried out, Mother. He heard you, Father, that you're trying, that I'm trying to keep this family together. I'm working my hardest. I'm doing this and that, and they still not doing right on my job. He heard you the first time. He heard you. The warning is almost. You feel I'm at the end of my rope. He heard you the first time. Cry out words of faith. Cry out and believe it. Cry out and start confessing. Cry out and say, I'm going to start possessing some of these things. Put on a spirit of expectancy and expect God to hear your cry. Expect God to answer your prayers. Expect the angels to get moving. As soon as you're speaking, expect the angels to get moving to bring that word to pass. Let's go beyond believing into knowing. See, this thing goes beyond just believing. It's about knowing. I don't know. Appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. See, Paul had a revelation of knowing what God would do, of knowing. He said, hold fast to the form of sound words. Hallelujah. Which thou hast heard from me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And I just love it. I just love it. When he says, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I have committed unto him. Hallelujah. What is it that you got on you? You got to give it over to Christ. Give him your problem. Give him your problem. You got to be able to give it over to God. Commit your problems over to God. And then believe that he will take care of it. Hallelujah. Believe that he's able to bring you out, that he's his power. He's powerful enough to deliver you, to set you free. You have to take that up somewhere. Write it on something. Come back to it until you just get it in your spirit. 2 Timothy 1, 11 and 14. Read the letters that Paul was writing to Timothy. Hallelujah. Knowing and believing are two different things. Knowing and believing are two different things. See, when you know something, you're confident about it. I know I'm a woman. I'm confident in my feminine. I know I'm a woman. I know I'm a child of God. I'm confident about that. I know who I am in Christ. And I'm confident. When you know something, you're confident about it. Paul knew God. He didn't just know about God. But Paul knew God. See, so many times, you look at the preachers and the teachers and the leaders right in the eye, and you're so anxious to tell and say, oh, evangelist, I know God. Who are you to tell me about God? I know God. You know, but that doesn't have anything to do with my situation, but I know God. I've been knowing God. You're not the only one who knows God. But do you really know God? Because when you know something, you're confident. You believe in that person. You believe that they power. If you really knew God, you wouldn't be so worried about how you're going to make it through that. Because you're confident that he's powerful enough to set you free, to deliver you from that mess. That same mess that you keep getting yourself into. That same mess that you keep getting back in that relationship and he's already gave you the answer to move on. But that same mess that now months and months and years has passed by, and you're still looking back, I think she's going to turn around and do right. I think he's going to fall in love with me. Or he said he's going to marry me this year. That same mess. If you really knew God, you'll be confident enough to believe that he's powerful enough to deliver you out of that, to keep you even though that you're not with that person. Even though when you leave, you're going to leave their finances too. Even though when you leave, you're going to leave the status quo that you had with them. God is still powerful enough to keep you where you need to be. Do you really know God? If you are, then you should be speaking words of faith. You should be speaking words of faith. Do you know God? Paul knew God. He didn't just know about God, but he was persuaded that God was able to fulfill his promises. To fulfill his promises. So he held fast the words of soundness, and he did it in faith, and he did it in love. He called it a good thing. Personally, I moved beyond belief. And now I'm in the knowing part of it. I said believe, because I already believe. That's in the past. I'm in the knowing stages. It might seem crazy to other people, but I know what God can do. And I know what God can do. I know without a doubt what God can do and will do. And when I put my faith in him and I speak sound words, faith-filled words, I know what he can do. I know what he will do. So I don't mind looking and sounding crazy sometimes, because I would rather have faith and see God bless me, to see God bless those around me. See, when I speak in faith, I speak in love. And I know I can expect results. And I came to tell you today that so can you. So can you. So can you. Why are your words powerful? Because you are powerful. Whether you realize it or not, the very thing that makes you alive is the breath of God Almighty. See, your body is just dust from this earth. But the combination of your spirit and your soul, that's the real you. See, you got that part from God. The Bible tells us that man was made in the image of God. He was created to be a upstanding being. God is the Father. God is the Son. God is the Holy Ghost. You are the spirit, soul, and the body. You were created to be a triune being. When God created man, he was just in the sand, in the dirt. I'm sorry, and he was just in the dirt. The original Hebrews text tells us that he had one big lump of dirt. God began to sculpture and create a body out of that lump, fashioning every vein, every bone, every muscle, every organ out of the earth. Hallelujah. 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 God, what did man look like after God finished sculpturing? I pictured it. It's just like man was still stiff, almost like a mannequin. There was no life present. Now, all the details was there, but there was no life present. But God did something amazing. He took the sculpture of a man, and he brought it right up to his face, and he blew. And then he breathed into the man's nostrils. And just like that, life went into that body. Notice that God didn't breathe into the mouth. You know, that would be like the CPR, like he's trying to resuscitate the body. But God, he breathed. He blew into the nostrils because he was giving him life for the very first time. Giving man life for the very first time. So when God blew into the mannequin, into his what he had created, his sculpture, it became a living, breathing spirit speaking, because God is spirit. And he blew his spirit into man. So we now should be spirit speaking, because we have God's spirit in us. We're created of his spirit. Man's eyes blinked open, and the first thing he saw was the face of God, up close, personal. Suddenly, man started living, moving, breathing, speaking. See, man actually used the breath of God to live. Acts 17 and 28, as the mighty God tells us, for in him we live and move, and we have our being in him. It says, as certain also of your own ports have said, we're also his offspring. In him we live and breathe and move. We are his offspring. Before God breathed into man, he could not speak, but afterwards man was commanded to speak. 1 God told man to be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth as it was needed, and subdue anything that got out of line. See, by telling him to subdue, God was warning Adam about the snake that was coming, about the serpent. Then God told man to plant seed and reap the harvest, to live off of his sowing. He also gave man all power and authority over all the works of his hands. Then God said, and this is my paraphrase, he said, okay, come on, Adam, now I got some work for you to do. What was God saying? He was telling Adam, you are a spirit that speaks. And whatever you call every animal that I bring to you, whatever name you give it, that's what it's going to be. I want you to now practice on speaking faith-filled words. Because I have now blew my spirit into you. I gave you my spirit. Speak, spirit. Faith-filled words. And we should do the same. Read Genesis 2, 19 through 20. It says, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name therefor. And Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowl of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found any helpmeet for him. But whatever God brought to Adam, he was able to speak, spirit. So whatever he called it, that's what it was named. Now, I believe that God didn't do it for anything. He wanted Adam to practice what he had just gave him. I just gave you my spirit. Practice using it. That's the same for us. We have the Spirit of God, and we must speak faith-filled words. And God will send the messenger to receive those words and bring them to pass. So if you say, no weapon formed against me shall prosper, remember, just because you don't see the results right then, delay doesn't mean deny it. I want you to realize just how powerful God originally made you to be. You are a spirit speaking person, man, woman. You are a being formed of the earth in the very image of God. And you have his very breath inside of you right now. You have his very breath inside of you right now. And notice this. God loves you for who you are. I believe that God was teaching man, and he's teaching me, and he's teaching you right now the power of his word. The power of his words. Have you ever noticed when people get upset and some people will start immediately cursing and saying all negative things and words that'll bring you down, that they feel that will tear your spirit down, that will hurt your feelings? Why? Because they feel like there's power in those words. They feel like that those words will do something, that they can get the upper hand on you if they can just get those words to penetrate in your spirit. Because they know something is going to change if they can just get those words across. The power of words. The power of words. So God is doing the same thing. God wants you to understand the power, the true power of his words, the true words. I want you to realize how powerful God originally made you to be. When God talks, life happens. When God talks, life happens. Just like when man talks and he wants to put the negative words in your spirit. He's expecting something to happen. When they curse you out on the job for no reason, when you're driving in traffic and someone is just cursing you out, they're expecting something. They want their words to do something to you. when that spouse is disrespecting you and calling you all kind of demeaning words, they're expecting you to react in a certain way. When God talks, life happens. This world came into existence because of his words, of his mouth. Hallelujah. The Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1:1-4. So in the beginning there was the Word, God's Word. When he speaks his word, life happens. That's when you take on really living. When you figure out God's Word. When God said, let us make man in our image, in Genesis 1:26, he was referring more to just than just creating a human being. He was referring to lifestyles, too. God's lifestyle is to speak words of life. He intends that man's lifestyle will also be to speak words of life. You see, your words matter, even death and life, and the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life. It's in the power of the tongue. God gave mankind some of his power when he breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils. Same power of God dwells within you. It dwells within me. Even when you're saved, you are able to recognize it and have faith in it. It's the power that will raise up from within you and quicken your mortal body back to health if you're sick. According to Romans 8:11, it's that power of God that's within you, what goes out to others when you lay hands on them in prayer. It's your words become more powerful because you are more than just dirt. You have the life of God in you, sister. You have the life of God in you, my brother. You are a spirit. And when you're speaking God's words in faith, you're more powerful. Don't give up. Don't write your suicide note yet. It's not over. That mess that you're going through, it will come to pass. That's going to be a message that you're going to send around the world. Your family all throughout is going to be changed because of the mess you're in right now. Don't give up, my brother. Don't give up, my sister. It's not over yet. It's not over yet. Don't give up. God is not through with you yet. He wants you to speak. Speak his powerful words. He wants you to start to live a lifestyle that's full of life because of the powerfulness in the words that you're speaking. Even unsaved people have power in their mouth because the very life that keeps them walking around is still God's breath. So even the unsaved people, it's still God's breath. They still have power in their mouth. I see you in the chat room. God bless you all. But without the knowledge, even though the unsaved people have power in their mouth because they still have God's breath, man can do a lot when he focuses on something. But without knowledge of God and the acceptance of God's plan, man is spiritually lost and man is confused. He is without peace because he doesn't know his maker. And that's why you see so many different things that's going on and happening. That's why you see so many people giving up and committing suicide. Because they don't have the knowledge of God. And they haven't accepted God's plan. So they're spiritually lost. They get confused. They can't find any peace in this world. Because they have not connected with the Spirit of God. Consequently, a spirit. spiritually lost man doesn't understand the power of speaking words of life. So the enemies easily can destroy him by telling him that God's not listening to you. God's not hearing your prayers. Because he doesn't understand that the power of the words. But when you speak faith-filled words, God will send a messenger to bring those words to pass. Have you ever looked back in your life and thought about the worst moment that you thought that I can't get out of this? But look at you now. You're still here. It's past. And what you're going through right now is going to pass too, my brother. It's not over, sister. This too will pass. And you need to speak powerful words to get yourself out of it. You need the power of the God. You've got to believe that God exists. You've got to believe that he is powerful enough to save you, to deliver you, that his power can set you free. You got to get knowledge with God. Remember, nothing just happens. Nothing just happens. And nothing will get done unless you take the initiative first. You got to have choosing faith. You got to choose to have faith to shake off your depression. You got to choose to have faith to get in touch with the evangelist or the apostle or the preacher or someone that's going to intercede and pray with you. You have got to choose to stand up and say, I refuse to go down like this. You've got to choose to say, just because it's delayed doesn't mean God is denying my request. And you got to choose to open your heart to believe that when you cry out, that God hears your voice. You've got to choose to believe that when you cry out, that God is speaking to him. And you got to open your heart so you can hear God speak to you. It's one thing when the evangelist, the preacher, the teacher, and somebody walks up to you and they tell you, God said for me to tell you this. But it's another when you hear from the Lord. So God, I want to hear from you. Speak to me, Lord Jesus. I need to hear from you. I need to hear your direction. And you start out by doing that, by speaking his faith-filled words over your life, over your spouse, over your job, your children. So many parents right now just turn the world over to take and minister to their children. It's your job to make sure that your child is filled with the Holy Spirit. You must speak positively. He's not even using a fraction of your power when you speak negative. You got to speak positive things in the midst of your negativity. Hallelujah. You've got to understand and have knowledge of God's word. Ask him to reveal the word to you. You said, I read the word, but I'm not getting what I'm reading. Ask God to reveal the word to you. Get in a church where the leader is getting something that you know that you're getting the understanding. But pray about where you're going to go. Stay on your knees more than you're staying on and with the remote control looking at the TV, watching somebody else live out a fake life. God has a life planned for you to live. Hallelujah. He came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. But you got to be knowledgeable of his doing, what he has for you, what he wants to do to you, through you. Faith is much better than being positive. Positive words hope for change. But faith creates change. That's why I think accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior is the most important decision a person can make. Jesus is the reason I'm alive today, and without him in my life, I'd be dead by now. I was a hard-headed, thought I knew everything. Thought I could do it all on my own, but I always knew that Jesus was my leader. Jesus is my creator. But I would just take off and set off and try to put things in motion, consulting in him at first, and it always would knock me on my butt. Just when I thought I had it all wrapped up, it never worked out. Because Jesus said, I'm not going to allow you to do this. You're going to have to recognize that it is through me, Christ Jesus, that you're going to get where you need to be. And then he gave me joy once I turned around to him. He gave me joy. He gave me purpose. He gave me the direction that I was so seeking in my life. He gave me good words to speak, and he cleared up all of my confusion. Hallelujah. You see, in order to wash away my sins, there was a sacrifice that had to be made. To redeem mankind from sin, somebody had to die. And that was Jesus Christ. He came to this earth and he led a sinless life. He was innocent and his blood ran down that cross. God accepted every drop for the remission of sin, your sin, my sin, the whole world's sin. And if they had accepted after Jesus did that, the work of redemption was finished. Now, all you have to do is just be saved. To be saved is just to call upon the name of Jesus. To believe with your heart and then confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Real quickly, let's just read Romans 10:9-13. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever, that means you, I don't care what you've been through, what you're going through, I don't care what you've done in your life, I don't care where you're at right now, what you're doing, it says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, if you're not sure that you're saved, now is a good time to make sure. When you accept God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, you are reunited with your Father. See, many Christians call the experience a spiritual rebirth. And the reason is because God first gave birth to man when he blew into his nostrils. But then Satan came to steal that life and to bring the death of sin into the world. He deceived the woman and man agreed to disobey God and take Satan's side. So that turned the tables and made all of mankind's seed inherit the sin. And you and I, we are man's seed. Now, although everything that has gone on from creation may seem a little complicated, there's still nothing complicated about salvation. It's not hard. It's easy because Jesus did all the work. You don't have to go to the cross to give up your own blood for sin. All you have to do is speak from your heart and accept what Jesus has done. God's ear is tuned to hear your voice. Don't let the devil tell you that God is not listening, that he doesn't hear you. God will accept your prayer no matter what you've done, no matter who you are and what you've said or how you've acted in the past. All you have to do is pray and ask Jesus to come into your heart, and he will come for your words, and he will bring them to pass. When you say the name Jesus, and you believe in your heart that he is God's son, raised from the dead, you're accepting salvation. You're meeting your maker and can be assured that it's a done deal. You're saved. In fact, your past is wiped clean by the blood. And God won't even bring it up. He chooses to forget it and wants you to do the same. So don't you worry about when the world tries to remind you of what you've done in life. I remember when you did this. I remember when you was out prostituting. You were the one breaking up this home. You were a liar. You're the one stealing from the big ones in the CEO. But God has wiped your slate clean. Hallelujah. Once you get saved, you begin a new lifestyle. It's a lifestyle that includes speaking words of life. When you go to church, take the words of life that you hear in the message and start speaking them over your life. If the pastor quotes the scriptures that you're in, that you're a new creature in Christ, and that old things have passed away, I encourage you to say that to yourself regularly. It's 2 Corinthians 5:17, and it just simply says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." So whether you just gave your life to Christ or you've been saved for 60 years, it's never too late to start speaking words of life. As you read your Bible and find the words of life that you understand, decide to speak those things over your life today, over your kids' life before they go to school. You want to talk anyway, you might as well say something good today. Remember, what you may say matters. It's not just the day on the days that you go to church. Remember, what you say matters. Speak words of life every day, and you'll create a life worth living. The devil may try and hinder you, but he's a loser. He's fighting a battle that Jesus Christ has already won for you. He can't stop God's word from coming to pass. He can't stop you as long as you continue believing the Lord and speaking words of faith. And God will send an angel to work on your behalf. The angels are his messengers. He will send them to work on your behalf and bring you what you need. God will come for your word. God will come for your word. If you have not met Jesus Christ, the greatest friend that you will ever want to meet, if you don't know him as your personal Lord and Savior, not your mother's Savior, but if you don't know him for your personal Savior, repeat the words of salvation now. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. Oh, I believe that you are the Son of God and that you died on the cross for me. Jesus, I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on the cross. I receive you as my Savior and Lord. In your name I pray, amen. And if you just prayed that prayer, congratulations. You are a new creature in Christ that we spoke about in 2 Corinthians 5:17. And remember, it tells us now. You said, that's it? Yeah, that's it. It's just that. Jesus did all the rest for you. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are brand new. All of heaven is operating right now with you. If you just prayed that prayer. You have a brand new life with Jesus. You have a bright future filled with faith and hope. It's important that you let someone know of your decision to follow Christ. And I would just love to hear from you. You can reach me at walkwithgod@aol.com. You can always leave me a message here on the blog talk. You can always call in at 646-652-4916. Again, walkwithgod@aol.com. I'll be more than happy to send you out Bibles, whatever you need, any literature you need to help get you started on your Christian walk. You say, I am a Christian, but I know somebody that I'm trying to speak the word to, that maybe could use a Bible, could use some more literature, that I just want you to agree with me as I go on this walk. That's what I'm called to do. As we started in Isaiah 61, is our scriptures. He has chosen me to give the good news. So whatever you hear today, make sure that you don't get so wrapped up in the negative things that's going on in the world, that you start to think that there is no good news left to hear. Because his word is the good news, and he has chosen us to deliver the good news. So I would love to send you in any free literature that I can to help you on your walk. And remember, Christ is thinking about you. He only wants the best for you. God loves you. I pray for all of the sick and the shut-in. We pray for Tanya. We pray for JD. And we pray for all of the ones in the chat room and the ones that are called in tonight. And if there's anything here that Tri-Anointed Women of Christ Ministries can do to help you, please, that's what we're here for. I would love to pray with you. I love to fast with you. I love to intercede with you. I love to continue to send in your prayer list. Send in the ones to highlight their names in prayer. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for everyone. We thank you, God, for your word just being what it is. And every word that has came forth, dear Father, I ask that you just attach it to everyone's heart. Hallelujah. And as they go forth throughout this day, may words of freedom, words of faith, spilled from their spirit, because you are spirit and you have breathed your spirit into us and made followers in your path of righteousness. In Jesus' name, we thank you. Amen. Well, we've come to the close of another broadcast. It is I, Evangelist Von Dumas. And I said thank you for just taking out the time to chat with me, to just listen and just hear what God has put in my heart to deliver to you. Now, what you've heard, I ask that you take it now and deliver it to someone else. Go out and tell someone else of God's good news. Go out and be a representative for the good news to let somebody know that God will respond to you in the good times and in desperate times. It doesn't matter if you're in a situation where nobody else is near you to help you. God will send one of his messengers to help you if you're speaking words of faith. Nothing happens until you speak the words of faith over your life. God bless you. We love you. Until the next time, we'll see you on Tri-Anointed Ministries with Evangelist Von Dumas signing off. Good night.